Well, welcome once again to the Minnesota Groundwater Association's Spring Conference. I am Mindy Erickson, and I am a groundwater scientist with the U.S. Geological Survey. And this year, I am taking my turn as the president of the Minnesota Groundwater Association. It's been a really great experience, and as we're looking toward next year and elections that'll be coming up in the fall, I want to encourage anyone who's been considering getting more involved in this organization to do so. It's taken much less time and been much more fun than what I had expected. So start thinking right now about volunteering for the fall elections. I wanted to also just let you know that we're going to have the MGWA booth set up today during the poster sessions and during lunch. And the purpose of having our poster set up at our own conference this year is to encourage people to start thinking about the Geological Society of America meeting that's going to be here in October. And we are going to have a booth at the GSA meeting this fall, and we're going to be looking for volunteers to spend a couple of hours helping to staff that booth during the meeting. And so our booth is set up, and Audrey Van Cleve will be staffing that booth during the breaks, and just looking for folks to volunteer to be willing to be contacted later in the year to sign up for a time for GSA. So you're not committing to any day or time right now, just committing to thinking about it, essentially. So if you're willing to do that, go see Audrey sometime during the breaks and sign up and give her your contact information, and we'll get that all organized as the time grows closer. I also want to say regarding GSA, we will not be having, we being MGWA, will not be having a fall conference this year. We will instead be encouraging all of our membership to attend GSA this fall. This is going to be a very unusual opportunity. GSA hasn't been here in decades. And travel expenses and travel authorization and travel permission is pretty hard to come by these days for national meetings. And so this is a really rare and a wonderful opportunity for all of us to attend a national meeting here locally. So I encourage you to attend GSA in the fall. We're going to have several MGWA-sponsored sessions and field trips, and so there will be a lot of activities that will be of interest to you as members of MGWA. So October 9th to the 12th, put it on your calendar now. Start getting your authorizations to for the dollars and time to attend that conference in the fall. We have Representative Paul Torkelson from the Minnesota House of Representatives here speaking, kicking off a conference here today. Representative Torkelson was elected to the Minnesota House of Representatives in 2008 to represent House District 21B, which covers Brown, Redwood, Wattawan counties. Representative Torkelson is an assistant majority leader and currently serves as vice chair on the Committee on Environment, Energy, Natural Resources Policy, and Finance. He helped establish the state's Clean Water Council in 2007, and he still serves on the council. And with that, I will turn the microphone over to Representative Torkelson.
Well, thank you so much, Mindy, excuse me, for that kind introduction, and good morning, everyone. It's a pleasure to be here someplace besides the state capitol complex for a little while anyway, although I have a committee meeting that starts at 8:15 that I'm going to be late for, but I was invited to come here and speak, and it's my pleasure to be here. I couldn't help but smile, internally anyway, with when Mindy made her opening remarks. She's talked about elections, and I thought, oh, talking about elections, I realized she's talking about the elections for this leadership of this group, and she said it'll take less time, it'll be more fun than you think. I did not find that to be true. When I got elected to the legislature, it takes more time, and it's not all fun. We have some very serious, difficult work to do, especially this term. But as Mindy said, I was first elected in 2008, and I was reelected in 2010. I fortunate situation in the election fall of 2009. I had no opponent. And I thought, well, gee, I've got this political thing all figured out. And I, you know, won re-election with, there were 203 people in my district, actually, that wrote something in on their ballot besides my name. I don't know what they wrote in. It was probably none of the above or something like that. But then came along this week, and the redistricting maps that are the proposed redistricting map for the state of Minnesota, put together by the Minnesota House of Representatives, was introduced on Monday. And there are a number of interesting situations, but there are only two Republicans, two Republican House members who are going to be going head-to-head if this map is approved in the end and becomes the official map, and I am one of those two. And the way the district is set up right now, I'd be slated to run against Bob Gunther. Bob Gunther has been in the Minnesota legislature for over 20 years, and my situation has changed dramatically in just 2 years, but who knows how things will turn out in the end. No PowerPoint this morning, no fancy presentation. I will speak briefly and then leave some time for questions. I will and look forward to that. Just a little bit about myself. I'm a graduate of Gustavus Adolphus College in St. Peter and graduated from there with a degree in instrumental music education. Spent 4 years teaching in beautiful downtown Fairfax, Minnesota. During that time, actually, my father passed away. I grew up on a farm, and he was a farmer. And the late 70s were great years for farming. Farmers were making good money. It was kind of like the situation we're in today. So the seed was planted in my brain to return to the farm. I did return to the farm. I've spent the last year farming in northern Watonwan County, and it's been a great experience. I'm happy to be there. I live and operate the farm where my great-grandfather started farming in 1878. And actually, the house we live in, part of it was built in 1879. So my roots are deep in agriculture, and my roots are very deep in Watonwan County. During my time farming, I got very interested in agricultural policy work, got very involved with the Minnesota Farm Bureau, worked my way up through that organization to point where I was state vice president of Minnesota Farm Bureau, and that was about the same time that that the idea of the Clean Water Council came forward. There was a group of mostly lobbyists called the G16 that really put the ideas together to form the Clean Water Council. These lobbyists came from varied backgrounds. It was environmentalists. It was the people from local government, it was the people from agriculture, who were very frustrated with the way water policy was working here in the state of Minnesota, and they thought there must be a better way. If we could get a council together that brought all of these people to the table, maybe we could make better policy and do better work in the state of Minnesota. So they decided to form this Clean Water Council, and two of the seats on the council were for ag people. In the process of the legislation for the Clean Water Council being put together, they decided that they would not allow lobbyists to be on the council. Well, when I became vice president of Minnesota Farm Bureau, I was asked to sign up as a registered lobbyist because I'd be working at the Capitol. I signed up 1 week, and the next week they called and they said, Paul, would you please unregister as a lobbyist? So I think I'm the shortest-lived lobbyist in the history of the state of Minnesota. I was officially a lobbyist for about 1 week. Took my name off that list so that I could join the Clean Water Council in 2006. I've been on the council since its inception. My future on the council is somewhat cloudy because we are right now in the process of redesigning how the council may look. As far as the legislature, I was newly elected in 2008, reelected in for the 2010 session. I serve on the Ag Committee. I serve as vice chair of the Environment Committee, which just started meeting 1 minute ago, and I serve on the Legacy Division, which deals with the Clean Water Legacy money that we have, that the citizens of Minnesota voted to take out of their pocketbooks. A little more about the Clean Water Legacy Act and the Clean Water Council. It's really kind of in two pieces. As I said earlier, the Clean Water, I'm getting my terms mixed up and I should know these, the Clean Water Legacy was set up in 2006 and set up the council, but there was no money. There was no money until the 3/8 of a cent sales tax passed in the election of 2000 and whatever it is, 2 years ago. too many dates. I didn't write them all down. And that created a pot of money that is designated to be used for clean water here in the state of Minnesota. But there was never a direct connection made between the Clean Water Council and that pot of money. And part of my effort this year legislatively is to create that direct connection so that the recommendations that come out of the Clean Water Council will actually be the official recommendations that go to the legislature. The important word there is recommendations. What is recommended by the council and the other councils involved with that money is not, they don't, the legislature doesn't have to follow those recommendations. It's just, it is just that. It's what these people think the money should be spent for. In fact, the legislature could do whatever it darn well pleases and often does, as you probably know. The council, as it stands today, is made up of 23 members. 19 of those members are appointed by the governor, and they come from a variety of backgrounds. I won't list all those, but they include environmental groups, local government groups, ag groups, etc. It also includes four members of various agencies that are non-voting members. And that's the way the council has operated for its first 4 years of existence. I have legislation that has passed the House and will be headed to the conference committee that would change that, not dramatically, but change it somewhat. It would, for one thing, it would add the Department of Health to the list. As you probably know, when the Clean Water Legacy Tax passed, part of that constitutional language requires that at least 5% of that money be spent on groundwater. This was really kind of a new direction. When the Clean Water Council was first formed, it was formed around the idea of TMDLs and that whole process of dealing with surface water. When the constitutional amendment passed, it brought that focus, at least in part, more towards groundwater, which I'm sure you were all glad to see, and in fact, I think was a very appropriate thing to do. So anyway, my changes that I've suggested would add the Department of Health to the list of agencies that are involved. And it would also add four legislators as non-voting members. Right now, the council operates, it's really the governor's Clean Water Council. In other words, it sits in the executive branch. If you're familiar with the Lessard-Sams Outdoor Heritage Council, that deals with the outdoor portion of that sales tax that's aimed at habitat for wildlife. That council operates within the legislative branch. And the legislators that sit on the Lessard-Sams Council are voting members of the council. And that is a model that works fairly well for that outdoors portion. But the outdoors portion is very narrowly focused. They really only deal with DNR as far as agencies go. And it's all focused on wildlife habitat. The water piece that I'm more involved with is much broader in nature because we deal with a variety of state agencies, including the DNR, Bowser, PCA, and the Department of Health, and I'm leaving somebody out. Ag, thank you. How could I forget ag? So it's a much more complex environment, and also part of the work that we've been doing with the Clean Water Council and with the money generated by the sales tax is to continue this TMDL process. I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about TMDLs. I would guess that most of you are familiar with that process and the importance of keeping that process moving ahead. It's really comes down from on high from the EPA that we need with the Clean Water Act that was passed in 1972 that we clean up the waters. It's a federal mandate, and the TMDL process is the evidence back to the federal government that we're doing our jobs. And if we don't move ahead with that process, we endanger a lot of development here across the state of Minnesota. Those of you that may remember the situation in Annandale where they had proposed a water treatment plant that they were unable to build immediately because the TMDL process threatened to postpone that. So that is certainly a very important focus for this, and I think the council recognizes that, and working with PCA and the other agencies, we've tried to keep that TMDL process moving forward. We've kind of changed the focus a little bit. We're looking at it more on a watershed basis. There are 82, I believe, major watersheds across the state of Minnesota, and the intention is to visit each of those in a 10-year cycle so that we have kind of a predictable process for how we go through TMDL work in the state of Minnesota. And instead of trying to address when the waters get listed, they can be either very small waters, like a short stretch of a stream, or they can be very large projects of like Lake Pepin, which is in the TMDL process now. In my opinion, some of those are too small and inefficient to make this process work well. In the case of Lake Pepin, probably too large and too difficult to deal with all the issues that surround Lake Pepin. So this change that the council has proposed and that the PCA has endorsed really kind of brings us down to basically a county-sized watershed. That seems to be a reasonable size to get local people involved in the process and to work our way throughout the state of Minnesota on this 10-year cycle. So that's kind of what we're about as far as the Clean Water Council goes and my proposed changes to the council. I have to add that the chair of the Senate Environment Committee, Bill Ingebrigtsen, has proposed changes to the Clean Water Council that would really turn it into more of a Lessard-Sams model. That would put it would bring it over to the legislative branch. It would put legislators on the council as voting members, and I think would dramatically upset the way the council works. Having served in the legislature for a while, I now understand why legislators really are in part about making sure that their district is treated fairly. And that often is defined by how many projects come to my part of the world. And it's not wrong, it's not bad, but it's the way politics kind of works. And if this clean water money would be subject to that, I'm afraid that it would become a project-oriented procedure. In other words, we've had projects come before our committees this year to dredge lakes. And dredging, you know, improving a lake is a laudable goal. But I believe the project that was brought before us this year was like a $12 million project. If we start doing that kind of work with this money, we will gobble it up in no time doing projects like that in particular legislators' districts all across the